Well, let's look at Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walks in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labour of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us this morning. Let's ask his blessing. Lord, we thank you this morning for your precious word. Your word lays bare our hearts. It slays us, Lord, that we might know the life that you give, that we might know the life that is from above. So, Lord, this morning we pray again that you would speak to our hearts. All the flesh doesn't like it when, Lord, your word is applied. But we thank and praise you, Lord, that we are strengthened with might in the inner man. Praise your wonderful name. Oh, bless you, Lord. Speak to us this morning, we pray, by your Holy Spirit. Speak into our hearts, we pray, that your name may be glorified and uplifted. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, a verse which we quoted last week and we shall look at again this week. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Following on from Psalm 127, which was about working, which was about learning to lean and trust in the Lord, and working without the Lord, unless the Lord build the house, unless the Lord keep the city, unless the Lord be there in our work, it's vain, it's empty. So we had the idea in Psalm 127 of working for God, but working without him is vain. Trying to worship without him is vain. We need to move in the Holy Spirit. And when we say you should not move in the power of the flesh, that doesn't mean to say you should stop moving altogether. We should move in the power of the Spirit. We should stop doing the one thing and start doing the other. We should stop moving in the flesh and moving in the Spirit. We should stop living for the flesh and living in the Spirit. We should stop walking in the flesh and by sight and walking by faith and walking in the Spirit. So the Lord would speak to us to move in the Spirit. Without the Lord, it's vain. But in Psalm 128, we come to a work and a working that is fruitful, a working that brings blessing. And that's working in the Lord. And so we read in 1 Corinthians 15, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Your labour in the Lord is not in vain. And Psalm 128 brings to us the idea of blessing and fruitfulness in the work of the Lord. Blessing and fruitfulness as we work in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 127, at the end of it, we saw really the soul at battle stations. The children that were like arrows in a quiver. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them, or happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. His children were like arrows. But here in Psalm 128, the children are like olive plants around the table, peaceful. True happiness and blessedness. Blessed is everyone. Will you notice, first of all, that this happiness, and the word blessed means happy in Hebrew, this blessedness, this happiness can be for everyone, as all the blessings of God. It's a whosoever. This blessedness is to be found in the fullness of God's provision and blessing. This is the ninth song of ascents, song of degrees. It's the ninth one. And that brings us to the idea of God's fullness of provision, God's fullness of blessing. In Matthew chapter 5, you can read the Beatitudes, the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessings of God. Now in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus speaks about those that are blessed. that those that are truly happy. And you'll find that 9 times Jesus says, blessed. But the 9th one is really an extension of the 8th one. So you'll probably hear people speaking about the 8 Beatitudes, and there are 8 really, although the 8th one is emphasized again. There are 9. 9 times the word blessed is spoken. Blessed are the poor, blessed are they that mourn, and so on. And then we get down to verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you. So there are 9 blesseds. And the 8th one is extended into the 9th one. The blessings that Jesus pronounced in the Beatitudes. And in Matthew 5 verse 10, which we just read, it says, blessed are they. And right the way through those blessings, it's blessed are they. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted. It's blessed are they. Jesus is setting out the blessings that abound for people. Blessed is everyone. But then in number 9, it says, blessed are you. And it becomes personal. It becomes something which we have appropriated. You're blessed. You're happy. Not just for them, but for you. And you know, we get this idea with the 9th of the Songs of Ascents. The 8th one, which we have just read last week, Psalm 127, says in verse 5, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. That word happy is the same as the word blessed. It's exactly the same word in Hebrew as the one in verse 1 of our Psalm 128. Blessed. Happy. Who's happy? Happy is the man. He, they. But when we come to Psalm 128, we get down to verse 5. In fact, verse 4 says, blessed shall the man be that fears the Lord. And then in verse 5 it says, the Lord shall bless thee. Thou shalt see the good. Thou shalt see thy children's children. And suddenly, just as in the Beatitudes, we change in this 9th song to you. It's something personal for you. When we're talking about the blessings that are for them, for all who will believe, we sometimes may wonder, does God mean me? But in the Beatitudes, he explains in the 9th blessed, blessed are you. And in this psalm, it comes down to you. Blessed are you. You will be blessed. Yes, God does mean you. Although it's for everyone, it's for you too. You are included. Blessed are you. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit placed in an order. And you may want to say, well, there are more gifts than just those 9. But they are the 9 that are emphasized at that one particular point in 1 Corinthians 12. 9. And we can arrange them into 3 groups of 3. 3 spoken gifts. 3 gifts of power. 3 gifts of discerning, of revelation. And in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, there is the 9-fold fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, meekness, faith, self-control. 9 gifts, 9 fruits, 9-fold fruit rather, of the Spirit. And God wants us to be fruitful. And this is a psalm of fruitfulness and blessing in the Holy Spirit. It's the 9th song of degrees. It's a song of blessing. It's a song of the fullness of God's provision. 3 times 3. How do we get into this blessedness? Or it tells us here in the psalm. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in his ways. Do you fear the Lord? Not a fear of the consequences of what might happen to you if you don't walk in his ways, but a fear that comes from love. You love the Lord so much that you do not want to step out of line. You love the Lord so much that you do not want to offend him in one little action, one jot or one tittle. You do not want to offend him. It's that fear, the fear of displeasing your Lord and your Master. Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do we love him that much? This is the way of happiness. You'll not know happiness unless you fear the Lord and walk in his ways. You'll only know dissatisfaction. You'll only know conflict in your heart. You'll only know sadness unless you walk in his ways, unless you fear him. The world doesn't see it that way. The world says, when I fear no one, and when I can do exactly what I want to do, then I'll be happy. Don't you believe it? The happiness of the world is very short-lived. You'll be happy when you surrender your will, when you fear the Lord, and you walk in his ways. To the world, that seems to be very constraining, very restrictive. That seems to be the complete opposite of what happiness is. But to those that know him, they will know that to walk in his ways is indeed the way of true happiness. To fear the Lord, to do his will. Hallelujah. Do we fear him? Do we fear him? Or do we reject his word when it comes to us? We may not like his word. We may not like his will. We may not agree with his will. You know, the flesh rebels against the will of God when it's brought to us. We say we want to do the Lord's will, but when it comes to us, we say, no, I don't want to do that. Jesus said to many that followed him, he said, why do you call me Lord? And you don't do the things that I say. You know, you want to be part of the happy hour. You want to be part of the jumping and bouncing throng that seems to be enjoying themselves. But when I tell you to do my will, and this is my will, you say, no, I don't want to do that. I thought I could do this. And the Lord says, no, I want you to do that. But I thought I could do this. No, I don't want you to do this. I want you to do that. And we go, You'll never be happy until you do that. As long as you carry on doing this, you'll never be happy. You'll never be happy until you do what the Lord says. Now, one of our Bible studies, eventually, on Tuesday evening, is going to be submission. Submission. You know, the Lord wants every one of us to know submission. Submission to his will. Submission to those that lead. Submission to each other. And it's a very hard topic to speak about, and it's a very hard idea to accept. But until we do, we won't know the blessings of the Lord. Until we know that true submission, we will each one be wanting to do what I want to do. Irrespective of the rights of, you know, irrespective of what other people feel or what happens to other people, I want to do what I want to do, thank you very much. We can never be part of a family of God's people unless we know submission. We want to walk in his ways and to fear the Lord. If you fear the Lord, you'll respect his will. If you fear the Lord, you'll obey his word and you'll walk in his ways and you'll know blessing and happiness. The world says that's rubbish, but the word of God says that's true. And the experience of the saints of God says, yes, that's true. When we walk in his ways, when we jettison our will and take on board his will and walk in his ways, then we know true blessing. Do you know, the book of Psalms begins in exactly that way, the way of blessing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Why? Because he wants to know what God's will is, that he might do it. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Lord, what would you have me to do? Is the constant prayer. Lord, let me know daily your will. Did you know that Jesus also delighted to know the fear of the Lord? In Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah 11 and verses 2 and 3, it says that this was the Spirit that rested upon Jesus. This is the prophecy about Jesus. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And if you look at the margin, which is what I was just looking for when I stopped reading, you're looking at the margin, you'll see that that quick understanding refers to a scent or a smell. He shall savour, he shall smell of the fear of the Lord. That shall be the fragrance about him. Oh, let us know the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord will result in our walking in the ways of the Lord. If we don't fear him, we won't walk in his ways. Who are those that are led by the Spirit? Romans 8 tells us that those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. And if we are the sons of God, we will fear him who is our Heavenly Father. And we'll be led by the Spirit. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The way of blessing. Read Romans chapter 8 again. It's the way of blessing. No condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What a wonderful way of blessing. But here in Psalm 128, we find the grace of God revealed as well in this blessing and in this wonderful provision. For to fear the Lord and to walk in his ways is not to earn salvation, but it is to know the reward of God's grace. What is provided is not deserved. But as we walk in his ways, we walk in the provisions of his grace. And you'll find the mark of grace here. For the number of grace is five, and there is a fivefold blessing brought before us in this psalm to show the grace of God in the happiness and the blessedness. Here's how the Lord will bless those that walk in his ways. Verse 4 calls attention to it. Behold, take note, pay attention, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. Here it is. How is he going to be blessed? You shall eat of the labour of your hands. There's an eating, there's a nourishment. Happy shalt thou be, truly satisfied and blessed. Number 3, it shall be well with thee. Number 4, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. And number 5, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. There's a nourishment in fearing the Lord and in walking in his ways, doing his will. It's nourishing. It's satisfying. And if we want to know that spiritual nourishment, that spiritual blessing, let us do his will and walk in his ways and be desirous to know those ways. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus said to the disciples when they came to him, he had not eaten any food that they knew of, but they'd left him weary and tired, hungry. But when they came back to him, they found that he looked refreshed. Jesus said to them, verse 32, we'll read first of all, I have meat to eat, or I have food to eat, that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him anything to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish it. There's food. That was food to Jesus. And that will be food to us. That speaks of being satisfied, does it not? After this meeting, you're going to rush home and eat your Sunday lunch. You're going to start it at quite a pace, thinking, I'm famished. And at the end, you're going to push yourself away from the table, undo your belt, and go, flop. Satisfied. Can't eat any more. Flop. Sorry for those of you who've only got beans on toast today, but flop. Couldn't eat another morsel. That's what Sunday lunches are all about, isn't it? Eating to capacity. I shouldn't encourage gluttony from the platform. But you see, that was Jesus. He was satisfied. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And when we do his will, we'll be satisfied. Satisfied. Blessed. Happy. Well fed spiritually. Happy. Well. Yeah? Not in need of a trip to the spiritual hospital or something. Underfed. Undernourished. Well fed. And what we've got here are the blessings of God. You know, in the Old Testament, you'll find three things that were evidence of the blessing of God. Plenty of corn, plenty of wine, plenty of oil. And you'll find the corn, the wine, and the oil in abundance are blessings of God. Corn, food, wine that speaks of the love of God and of the gladness of the heart of man. And oil, which speaks of his power, of his Holy Spirit, of that wonderful healing balm, oil. And they're here in this psalm as evidence of the blessing of God. There's an eating. You shall eat the labor of thine hands. It comes from working in the power of the Lord, of doing his will, of being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And there is nourishment there to do the will of God and to accomplish it. Fruitfulness. Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides or in the flanks of the house. Fruitful vine. There's fruitfulness. But you'll notice that this fruitfulness is a fruitfulness which comes about in conjunction with others. Suddenly, the family appears. It's not just me. It's not just the isolated soul. But now we've got wife and then children. There's family here. And fruitfulness is something which is not achieved alone. Something that's not achieved, not even in the nature around us. I mean, I know there are those amoebic things, that little cells that divide by themselves. But in nature around us, fruitfulness is not achieved alone, is it? Certainly not as far as our experience is concerned. It's part of family experience. And the Lord has brought us into a family. And he's brought us into a family that we should be spiritually fruitful. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. Jesus said, didn't he, in John 15, I am the true vine. You are the branches. You abide in me, I abide in you. And unless there's this abiding, I in you and you in me, there'll be no fruit. But if you abide, then you'll bring forth much fruit. Fruit that shall remain. There's to be fruitfulness, and there's blessing in fruitfulness. Galatians 5 speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? And you'll find that you can look at that ninefold fruit of the Spirit and find that there is a threefold division. It's a 3 times 3. The love, joy and peace speaks of what I experience of the fruit. Love, joy and peace. And then the next 3, long-suffering, kindness and goodness, are a fruit that's towards other people. And then the meekness and faith and self under control, the Spirit in control, is a fruit of me towards God. Fruit of the Spirit. And this fruit is a fruit which is veiled. It's for God and for God's people. That's why it's a fruitful vine at the flanks of the house. In actual fact, if you do a bit of digging, that word by the sides or the flanks of the house, that word flanks is a word the root of which was used by the Hebrews as a euphemism for the reproductive organs. Here is fruitfulness. Here is reproduction. Here is the work of God growing. And it's for the people of God to delight in. Hallelujah. In the Song of Songs, which is a book that we've referred to quite frequently looking at these psalms, and in chapter 4 and verses 9 to 16, we get here a picture of the Lord enjoying the fruits that are being manifested in his people. The fruit that has been produced by the soul. And from verse 9 he says, Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits. Camphire and spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. It's for him. It's for him. Thy love is better than wine. And around the table, there are children like olive plants. Corn, eat of the labor of thine hands. Wine, your wife shall be a fruitful vine. And the wine, of course, produces the fruit from which comes the wine. And the olive plants are those plants which produce the oil. The oil which speaks of the Holy Spirit. Corn, wine, oil. It's here. It's a work which is empowered and produced by the Holy Spirit. And the work, the fruit that is produced for the children themselves are fruit. The work is full of the evidence of the Holy Spirit. It's all producing. And we, as we are God's family, and we are fruitful, and we are producing the fruit of the Spirit, and we are seeing the work increase as others are brought to the Lord, we will see a manifestation of the work of the Holy Spirit. It must be Spirit-filled. What is produced is not something which is just an imitation. What is produced is real. And we delight to see others coming to know the Lord and manifesting that work of the Spirit of God in their hearts and lives. Olive plants around the table. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to be part of God's family and to see this come into fruition, you see. And to see it going on all the time. Around the table, a oneness and a unity in this glorious work of God. It's one of the evidences in modern times, you know, of the breakdown of family life, to see that in many homes nowadays there is no time when the family gather around the table. This was a mark in the scriptures, you see, of the oneness. The meal, the family meal, when everyone was together around the table. And it's a mark of the breakup of the modern family, that many, many homes don't have a time when the family come together. For me, there are so many other things. You know, the Jews still keep that up. The Jews still have a time for family meal time. And of course, the Sabbath evening meal is a time for the whole family. No matter what else there is to do, you come around the table and there's a family meal together. And they're festival times. They're keeping alive. They're carrying on in a ceremonial way the truth of the Word of God. They're carrying on in a ceremonial way, that oneness. But God wants us to know the reality of it. We're family. We're one. I trust in our homes as well we know that unity. When we come together, good to come round the table, you know, the meal table, to be one together. But I trust we know it spiritually, that oneness and that fruitfulness in the Lord. At the beginning of the Song of Songs, chapter 1 and verse 2, it says to the Lord, "Thy love, his love, is better than wine." But then it says, "Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth, wine and oil." His love is better than wine. His name is as ointment poured forth. In John 14 and verse 26, Jesus says, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," there is that oil poured forth. Note it carefully. "Behold, that this is how the man is blessed that fears the Lord." Fruitfulness, the power of the Lord being manifested. This blessing, he says, is out of Zion. It comes from God, where the King reigns supreme. This blessing is from him. "And you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life." That speaks of the building up of God's work on earth. You'll see the good of it. You'll see the blessing which comes from heaven manifested in this world, in this earth, as we move in that blessing, working with him. And you'll see the fruitfulness continuing. Not only will you know, as Psalm 127 has said, the wonderful blessing of children, but you'll see, it says here, thy children's children, your grandchildren. But spiritually, that speaks of tremendous things, because it means that those that we see coming to know the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, being born again of God's Spirit, growing up and maturing in him, will themselves become fruitful. That can be a bit of a shake-up for some of us. You know, some of us can get to the situation of thinking that work's not going to go on unless we're here. But the Lord says, no, you'll see your children's children. You'll see that the children that you produce will themselves produce children. They don't need you. They can go on in the Lord just as you did. And there's a tremendous growth. There's a multiplication here. For if you look at a family tree starting at the top with mum and dad, then children, and then you add children's children, the thing begins to branch out. There's a multiplication. There's an increase of the work of God. And this increase in the work of the Lord, the increase is in love. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17. Paul had this desire for those that he had seen come to know the Lord. And he said, "Not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And this morning the Lord desires that fruit will abound to your account, that we shall see children and children's children, and the peace upon Israel. Peace upon the people of God. Hallelujah. Meditate on this psalm. The way to blessing is shown to us here quite clearly. Working not without the Lord, but in the Lord. Fear him. If you love him, you'll fear him, and walk in his ways. And you will know the blessing of God that makes rich and adds no sorrow after it. I trust this morning we will meditate on that word. Read it again, Psalm 128. The enemy is like that flock of birds that would snatch away the seed that falls by the wayside. Don't let it fall by the wayside. Be like a giant vacuum cleaner. Suck the word in. Don't let the enemy snatch it away. Don't let anything else stifle it. Because the Lord this morning would have us to know this way of blessedness and happiness and fruitfulness in him. The enemy this morning has been trying his level best to snatch it away from hearts, to try to get people not to listen, not to hear, to be distracted and so on. But God is going to have his way. God's word accomplishes what he sends it to do. Let that word sink into your hearts this morning. Don't let the enemy rob you. Get the better of the enemy. Get the victory over him. You've got it in Christ Jesus. Let that word abound in your heart and grow and be fruitful this morning. Reject all the thoughts of the enemy. Let that word dwell in your hearts.